Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's hour two. It's the early line. SportsGrid. Kevin Wallstrom, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. College action. Today should be good, and this weekend will be fantastic. The college basketball scene continuing to heat up, as we talked about just yesterday, right? Gonzaga, Texas, top 10 matchup. Texas is 11th, not anymore. They're going to jump up there. We got another top 25 matchup here with the Baylor Bears and the Virginia Cavaliers. Both these teams have opened up their seasons unblemished, though light sample size. Baylor is a favorite in this basketball game by 5, as they've really established themselves now, the Baylor Bears, as one of the top teams, it feels like, year in and year out in college basketball. Anything jump off of the page when you see this matchup early?
Yeah, first, that they're playing in Las Vegas. You know, that's where you want to go on a neutral site. You don't want to go somewhere like Kansas City and play. I mean, the kids get excited to go to Vegas here, and that's what they're doing. Now, having said that, Baylor and Virginia, it's tough early in the season. I like battle-tested teams, Kevin. If you look at Baylor's schedule, they're not battle-tested, but they're really handling their business. The same thing with Virginia. Neutral court, just keep it simple to me. And also, by the way, I know it's early in the process, and you haven't played teams that are all that, you know, skillful or successful and maybe in your realm. I'm talking about Virginia. How about them opening up the season, Kevin? 48% from three-point range. I'll stick with the hot hand. Give me Virginia in this one.
Here's the thing. One of my great joys in life is betting the over in a Virginia basketball game. Now, you might think that doesn't make any sense. Virginia games all go under. One, they don't go under as much as you think. But two, it's kind of the point. I like to know I'm going to be in the mix. See, Donnie and I always say this when it comes to a boost or something, right? I just want to be in the mix when you're offering me a boost. I really want to win, but I'll settle for being in the mix. Virginia basketball totals are so low, I'm in the mix. And the Baylor Bears present one of the 5 best offenses in college basketball. These are, again, if you're a Ken Pom respecter, these are a pair of top 11 offenses in college basketball. How often will you see that be the case and then a total check in the way it does? And I know it's because of the tempo of Virginia. Well, good thing they've been efficient as can be. And also, if Baylor is able to extend a little bit here, it'll force them to push. There's another top 25 matchup tonight. It's UCLA and Illinois. Also in Vegas, this is the main event tournament. Just called main event. All right, I like that. It reminds me of a little pro wrestling here. Any intrigue for you tonight with UCLA and Illinois? Looks like UCLA, 3.5-point favorite, total 145.5.
Maybe towards the total, maybe going to the over. And also, we preface this by saying just being in the mix. FanDuel Sportsbook adder, I know we don't have any NFL action tonight, but maybe one of those combined games in the same building where we could take an over and boost it up, because this one might be fun. UCLA, again, not really battle-tested, but look at their 3 games on their offensive output. 76, 93, and 86. Take a look at Illinois. 87, 86, 103. Both of these teams capable of scoring. And again, if we're looking from an Illinois perspective, one of the faster teams in the country here, adjusted tempo-wise, I think we might be able to get some points. It is hard to try to factor it out because most of these heavyweight teams have played their first few games at home. They run over bad opponents. You meet up against a quality opponent on the road. Maybe the shooting angles are a little bit different, so that makes it a little bit of an issue. But I do think this game has a legitimate chance, Kevin, to go over.
Our radio audience is here on a Friday morning, the early line on Sirius XM Channel 159, UCLA, also lighter travel going, of course, from Cali to Vegas. But this is hardly the big game that UCLA will be playing this weekend, at least for the sports landscape. The college basketball team, this is a big one, but it's their game against USC that matters a ton in the college football landscape. The shame of it all, though, is UCLA fumbled the bag. A near three-touchdown favorite at home against Arizona, and you lose outright. And at times, we are tasked with capping motivation. And USC has a lot more that they can accomplish than UCLA. But don't for a second think that this is an unmotivated UCLA Bruin team. This is a pissed-off UCLA team who still, I think, has their eyes, of course, on the potential of making a Pac-12 title game. And all of that matters a ton. Look, I've liked USC all season long. Home field advantage, I don't know how much you factored in due to the proximity here, but I just want to kind of put that warning out there, Donnie. Don't discard UCLA as if they're now not playing for anything. That couldn't be further from the truth.
No, you're right about that. Now, if UCLA was playing Arizona State this week, where they played Arizona last week, that's not really a massive rivalry game. Whenever you're back in the battle of the city where a lot is still to be determined, you're going to get your best punch from UCLA. So I agree with you. The handicapping angle won't be what a letdown. It's, wow, sold-out crowd. The minute that ball kicks off, hey, guys, isn't this fun? Let's go out and win a football game. Absolutely here. UCLA is going to be in it from a motivational standpoint.
And, you know, you get the classic, oh, look at the Pac-12 beating one another up that we always see if UCLA is able to pull this out. A lot of games to keep your eye on, including another one in the Pac-12 featuring Oregon and Utah there. So definitely should be a great weekend of college football. We go over to the NBA next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back out of here in hour number two. It's a Football Friday in the Sports Grid Network, Series XM Channel 159. Donnie, Kevin here in the morning on the Early Line. But let's switch it over and talk some NBA action. Could be Xiaomi, Kevin. You just ring up the flagpole that, hey, Donnie, we want you to talk the Nets here for a little bit. I'm all about that. So why don't we do that? Last night, how about this? The Nets 109-107 victory on the road as they took down the Portland Trailblazers. I know we want to take a look at Kevin Durant here's 35 points and, you know, 8 rebounds in that game. And maybe they got a little fire lit under them by KD going, man, what do you want me to do? This whole team stinks but me, and you expect me to win basketball games. They do win this basketball game. Kyrie Irving looks like he's going to make an appearance over the weekend back with the Brooklyn Nets. And Ben Simmons actually was a worthwhile competitor in the game last night. Are we looking now, K-Dub? As you said, the best value on the board to start this NBA season was the Nets. Is the bandwagon filling back up on your side?
Look, they at least have provided themselves an opportunity. They're going to be home for 8 of their next 11 games, as you mentioned, Kyrie Irving coming back. If they're going to fully turn this thing around, the time is now. But this really, last night, I thought was easily their most important win of the season, maybe their most impressive win of the season. Final game of a road trip against a double-digit win Portland Trail Blazer team. And Kevin Durant just told everybody here, you're not worth your salt. And Ben Simmons has another franchise saying, man, I don't know what to do with this guy. And everyone across the board steps up. KD says, hey, just because I'm tired of doing it all by myself doesn't mean I'm not going to do it all. Here's 35 points and a plus 15 and 39 minutes of work. Guys in the starting lineup called out, hitting double digits. Joe Harris makes 50% of his threes. Nick Claxton checks in for a solid 25-minute run. And how about Royce O'Neal with a triple-double and the game-winning basket? But the reason that this was the most important game for Brooklyn so far, as you said, the Ben Simmons performance. This game ended with Ben Simmons on the bench because he fouled out like the third or fourth time this season. But when this, when the buzzer sounded and the Nets won, the first thing Kevin Durant did was hype up Ben Simmons. Because despite me calling out KD occasionally, he knows his, he knows hoop, obviously, and he knows how important Ben Simmons is to this basketball team. And if they are going to get anywhere near their potential, it is with Ben Simmons figuring it out. Career high in points with Brooklyn. Career high in rebounds with Brooklyn. His first double-double in a long, long time. And paired that with 7 assists and was a plus 13. Not only was he a perfect 6-for-6 from the field, they went hack a Simmons and he went 3-of-4 from the line. I don't know if they fully turn the corner here. They're, listen, there's going to, if they lose on Sunday to Memphis, you're going to hear, are they better off with Kyrie away? I don't think the answer to that is yes. But they need to continue to snowball this, Donnie. But this was such a major, major step in the right direction. It feels like the first time you could associate the Brooklyn Nets with positive vibes.
There you go. So maybe Brooklyn with a nice little jumping off point, or is it one of those mirages where a lot of these issues still aren't fixed? But a win is always nice, but we'll see what happens when Kyrie returns. Expected back this weekend. Let's flip it over to a nice little preview tonight. Got some pretty good NBA action here on a Friday night. How about on the West Coast? Now, two teams, I want to say, actually going in the same direction here, which one team certainly hopes they don't end up in that same direction. That's the Pistons and the Lakers. The Pistons, 3-13 on the season. 0-8 on the road. Well, thankfully for the Lakers, they're 3-10 on the season, 3-5 at home. If we're looking at the game tonight, and the reason why we're bringing this up, the estimated starting lineups here, just from a Lakers perspective, Beverly, Walker, Brown, James, and Davis, Kevin.
Yeah, LeBron being back tonight is a potential massive boost, and I think this line tells us he will be back. This is by far the strongest Laker line of the season. Again, the books pretty early on, and they didn't give the Lakers a ton of respect early, but even quicker, they started to price this team, in, again, not disrespectful range, but in an accurate way, that they were not a team that was a legitimate contender, but this is a perfect spot for the Lakers. Donnie, their last game was on Monday. They have had tons of rest. LeBron has now not played basketball for over a week, which means he should be full go. And the Detroit Pistons just played the Clippers last night. And we know that double up in LA for a young basketball team who probably enjoyed a Thursday night is a difficult spot. The Lakers are a tough team to lay 7 with, but if there was ever an opportunity, this is now. This should be Lakers, Lakers, Lakers. And again, boy, do they need it to be, though, Donnie. They are still a 3-win basketball team.
Yeah, they do need it. It's almost like a must-win, and you're playing a 3-13 team, which is kind of sensational here. Let's take a look at the Knicks and the Warriors also on the West Coast tonight, 10 o'clock tip. The Knicks come into this game 8-7 overall, 4-4 on the road, but picking up a couple dubs here on the road on this road trip after having a team dinner with some guys speaking out saying, hey, look, unacceptable. Let's get it together. Maybe they have the Warriors 6-9 on the season, but thank goodness they are headed back home where they're 6-1. They are absolutely atrocious on the road. Like we just talked about that Lakers game. The Lakers are favored by 7 points. Guess what? The Warriors at home versus the Knicks also favored by 7 points tonight.
And look at this total big time here. Numbers 234. One thing is we talked about this a couple of days ago. The Knicks, they have their team meeting. And they rip off two really great wins in a row at Utah and at Denver. And the game before, what inspired the team meeting was allowing 145 points in the Garden to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They've now played two straight unders. Thibodeau is defined by defense. That is where I think this team has to have a ton of focus. That is why I would look at this 234 and start to push towards an under. That would be the look here for me. One thing I'm also just completely fascinated by now, Steph Curry, 29.5, off of a 50-point performance. Is Steph Curry in a position where you're now going to look to play over his listed numbers every single time he plays, or maybe more specifically, every time he's at home. Only once has Steph been held under 30 points at home this season. It was against the Spurs in a game that they won by almost 40 points. Simply put, it was a blowout. He didn't play enough. I know maybe you think, I scored 50. Do you go back to Steph? Yeah, I think you go back to Steph, Donnie, and play over 29 and a half.
Exactly. We've talked about that before. Superstars, after a 50-point game, don't enter into the next game and go, okay, I'm going to take the night off and score 17. They try to press their luck and maybe get on a run and see if that hot streak can continue. Mm-hmm. Let's take a look here quickly in the city of brotherly love, the Bucks and the 76ers. K-Dub, we saw the Bucks open their season in Philly with a win. Maybe tonight, a slight underdog.
Yeah, and here's, again, the number I'm most interested in, is Joel Embiid. It's 29 and a half. Last two games for Joel Embiid, 42-59. JoJo looks bizarre. Like, I mean, 29 and imagine betting over 29 and a half and beating it by 30 points, okay? I mean, he offered it up in almost a single quarter of basketball here. I know you're going to tell me, and you're right, that he's playing a better defense here in this Milwaukee Bucks defense. Milwaukee held Joel Embiid to 6 of 21 in that opening meeting, and he scored just 15 points. Let's see if they can do it again. Embiid, well, we talk about all that Lakers rest. Joel Embiid has not played since Sunday. The Sixers have not played since Sunday. He should be ready to go here, Donnie, no matter the matchup, and have himself a big game at home.
Yeah, how about this too? Averaging 32-10 on the season overall. Two of the Titans in the Eastern Conference going toe-to-toe. Yeah. And I got to tell you, I mean, the Sixers need this a little bit more than the Bucks. Right off the Bucks at 11-3. Psychologically, the Sixers need this game even without James Harden. We'll see if they grab that tonight in Philadelphia. But we're going to head back to the NFL coming up next. Make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back with you right here on Sports Grid. A lot of NFL action still to break down, so we'll keep this thing moving. We'll take a look at the New Orleans Saints game up against the Los Angeles Rams. This line's a little surprising to me. I'm not sure if you're feeling it similarly here, but the Saints are a field goal favorite against the Rams. Stafford's back, unless I have misread the reports. 38.5's our total. Andy Dalton got a lot of, man, I mean, Dennis Allen right now goes, see? Man, if I put Jameis out there, we'd be a three-point underdog. So a little respect here. Dennis Allen maybe is feeling. Are you surprised that the Saints are a field goal favorite right now?
I got to tell you, the more surprising now is I'm looking at the lineup for this segment right here, K-Dub. We got four games we're going to preview. These games aren't hitting as well as those early games we had on the card because we're questioning, you know what I mean? This game was supposed to be a big game just a few months ago and has turned into who are the Rams going to start at quarterback and sure Matthew Stafford even want to be in this game? Because I remember doing games in August. You're like, oh my God, Donnie, you got to get all the Saints totals here. I mean, everything is that's the way I remember. Just letting you know.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you told people this was your Super Bowl preview.
Don't
this
get out
game
of here.
Right
Saints,
here.
Man,
you,
I hate the Saints.
I mean, you love the Saints. I remember you said Eagles got fleeced on draft night when they took that first round pick. Now you've been running around with the fourth overall selection T-shirt on. I mean, what's the deal?
I was saying from day one that Drew Brees should be the starting quarterback this year once again for the Saints, but apparently they don't listen to this.
Listen, wait until just wait though until Donnie gets the opportunity to start talking about the Eagles drafting a quarterback this year. That is when I am going to officially lose my mind. I do appreciate that I asked you if you're surprised by this line, and essentially your answer was, I'm surprised any of these games have lines because I don't really seem to care too much about them. Honestly, though, does this feel like a Matthew Stafford? Like Cooper Kupp matters this much that we're sitting here with a field goal line?
Like, I feel like Cooper Kupp getting knocked out of this game is actually like this game should be like relegated to a lower level because you're right. If we're looking at it from an honest perspective, sometimes you look at these games and go to yourself, like the New Orleans Saints, should they be a favorite against anybody at this point? Probably not. But then again, how could you have any confidence in the Rams outside of you saying, Kevin, They won the Super Bowl last year. Stafford's a really good quarterback when he's healthy, and hopefully he'll be healthy for this game. And you have Sean McVay calling the plays. But to be honest with you, there's no way. Like, you can't get me to get a Rams side and say, you know what, I think this makes sense. Now, granted, you do still have Aaron Donald and a pretty talented defense that the middle of that offensive line for the New Orleans Saints is terrible, injured, and not very good overall as it is. So he should have a field day. And oh yeah, wouldn't it be nice to have a quarterback that would be mobile in the pocket? Maybe Jameis Winston, maybe Taysom Hill, but you're going to still put Andy Dalton back there. He's probably going to get sacked at least 3 to 4 times in this game. So if I'm looking at it objectively for myself, it's hard to take a side on the Rams here. But if you do, with the FanDuel Sportsbook showing 3, if this lines up again around that 3.5-point range, that's the way I would be leaning, just from a simple fact. I don't trust the Saints as being a favorite. It's as simple as that.
You know, the interesting thing is, this is what happens when you hang out with someone long enough. I'm very interested in the Rams team total this week. Very interested.
Like, see, that's what like we're thinking.
17.5. Maybe you can get that flat 17. The Saints have allowed that in every single game this season but one. And Sean McVay, historically, in this spot, is a great bet. He's only lost 3 in a row just twice before. In that fourth game, he has gone out there and dominated his opponent. And this is only going to be the second time that a Sean McVay team has been held to 17 points or less in 3 consecutive games. I went out there in that next game and scored 34 points. I look at this as a spot to get involved with the Rams as long as Matthew Stafford is playing, and I have every reason to believe that he will be. We move it over to Texans Commanders. All right, I'm starting to see your point here. Not all. Maybe I should have instead of loading us up the top with all the good games, I should have just mixed and matched a little bit here to provide juice across the board. It's Taylor Heineke. I mean, come on, man. Taylor Heineke versus Davis Mills. Field goal favorite for the Commanders on the road. Totals 40.5. I know. I mean, what's the deal here? Lovie Smith versus Ron Rivera. Get excited.
The battle of the punts here coming tonight. And most people will say, like, hey, you know what? Washington should be an easy side here. I liked what I've been seeing out of them. You have? Have you seen their offensive outputs over the past month and a half here with Taylor Heineke? It's been terrible. But then do you want to take a side here in the Houston Texans by saying, like, oh, they're going to play this game tough? The only way you could possibly look at this game for me is the square side would be what, Kevin? You take the Commanders, you live with it, because if they get beat by the Texans, so be it. That one-win Texan squad. But if you're looking from a competitive standpoint and you want to make some money in this game, maybe it's the prop market that you dip into. Because if we figure Houston doesn't stop anything, wide receivers, running backs, tight ends, quarterbacks, then you should have, I don't want to say a field day, but a legitimate chance to win some money. Brian Robinson on the ground, maybe Gibson to score a touchdown here, and also Pierce on the opposite side. Because if we're entering into this game going, hey, we're going to completely switch it up for the Commanders, Kevin, and throw the ball all around the lot here at Taylor Heineke, that's not the way they play football. That's not the way they want to win. If you're looking at a team total here for Washington, where is it going to wind up? Somewhere in the low 20s? And that should be good enough to win a football game. I don't see a whole lot of offense overall in this game, but I do think Washington will be measured once again, and their pathway to victory is, hey, Taylor, don't go crazy out here. Don't turn the football over. Let's hand it off to a running backs here. Let's escape with a victory and try to make the playoffs. That's the way I would approach it. Running back props on both sides for me in this game, as opposed to just taking a square look and say, just give me Washington here, and I'll let the chips fall where they may.
Yeah, the interesting thing for Washington, who had 40 running back carries between Gibson and Robinson last week, they should look to replicate that number on the nose here against the Houston Texans. We'll see if that's what they're able to do, but I'm interested in Houston plus the 3. Taylor Heineke laying a field goal on the road, no way. Not for me. As Donnie said, not been impressed to that degree. First time in this kind of run here for Heineke, he'll be laying a number, and I am not going to be joining Taylor Heineke in that process. I think the Texans have a legitimate chance here to win this game. Giants-Lions. I think this is the most disrespectful line of the entire season. I think this is the single most disrespectful line of the entire year. That includes Buffalo laying a number in Kansas City. There's not a... The New York Giants are laying the same exact number that the Chicago Bears laid last week to the Detroit Lions as a home favorite of just three. The Giants are not only 7-2, Donnie, because this is the thing, right? The Giants have been covering numbers all season long. Like, they have more ATS victories than the Minnesota Vikings. And they're 8-1 record overall straight up. And here's the thing about this being three. I refuse to believe that this is a trap three. I refuse that notion. This is everybody saying, no, we told you the Giants stink. We told you the Giants stink. And maybe they do. But they don't stink as bad as the Detroit Lions. Three consecutive wins for Jared Goff. Two straight on the road. Not a chance. Give me the Giants.
It is disrespectful. And what I was also talking about, there were two lines this week that I thought were really sharp. And obviously that one being the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings. I also thought this was a sharp line here between the Giants and the Lions, because you're right. It doesn't make all that much sense. Maybe if you could say, like, hey, look, the Giants are only favored by three on the road at Detroit. Okay, that makes a little bit of sense here. The Giants are a better football team. You expect them to win the game. So you'll hang a three line here. Not the opposite here, where the Giants are at home taking on a dome team. Now, last week, I did take the Lions as my money line special here on our pick six, which you do every Friday. Keep an eye out for this game because we're going to make a return. But having said that here, I do think the Giants, again, the MO is clear. This is what they do. They're going to play a close game, and they're going to pull it out in the fourth quarter. Their team is coached very well. They don't turn the football over. They have an excellent running back to sort of keep the offense on the other team at bay. But we're looking from the Detroit perspective. I do think they're going to be in this ball game. I do think in the fourth quarter, we're going to be within a one-score game, meaning 7 3-points, 1 point, 4 points, whatever it may be. I do think there's a legitimate chance that the New York Giants do get upset. But if we're just looking from a line perspective, you sort of scratch your head and go, what gives here? There's one team that's actually fighting technically now for a division championship when the other one is just fighting to keep their head coach, and maybe they can put together a string of some decent games where they're competitive here. So something has to give here, and I'm going to bet that it's the Detroit Lions giving those New York Giants a loss here in the Meadowlands. That's a sharp number. I'm going to buy into the sharp side here with the Lions. Two straight weeks? Find out.
I don't know. I don't think it's sharp. I think it's just they hate the Giants, and they think they stink, and they've been hanging these numbers all year long on the Giants, and they've been wrong all year long. Like, they've been wrong all year long about the Giants. The Giants are 7-2 against the spread, Donnie. I understand you're calling for the upset. I got you here.
Yeah.
But as far as the idea of this being a sharp number, was last week's 5.5 sharp against Houston? It didn't work out. They didn't cover that number. Was the fact that they were catching points from Jacksonville sharp? That didn't work out. They won the football game outright. So that it's just all year long, this is how they've booked the Giants. They've been wrong all season long.
And we'll see if they're going to continue to be wrong. Now, you know my opinion on the Giants. It's Saquon Barkley and everybody stinks. So that's what I'm betting against at this point. But the proof's in the pudding. You are what your record says you are. Giants are 7-2. That's a good football team.
The good thing that they're playing a defense that gives up 161 rushing yards
Saquon
per game.
Saquon.
Many people are saying Saquon the Don. We've got a couple of games to get to, as well as the pick six. Get excited, folks. We're here on a Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, a couple games to run to, and then we'll get you the pick six and send you out of here. Get ready for the weekend. Pats, Jets. Man, I know someone that told me you could argue this is game of the week. Legitimately. I know someone now that said that you could argue this is game of the week. Sounds like someone that would pay for Twitter Blue if we're being honest here. Pats are a 3.5-point favorite. Ow, that was crazy for me, but it had to be said. Yeah. Pats are a 3.5-point favorite, over under 38.5. Mac versus Zach. Yeah, right, man. All right, look, man. What do you want to do here, Pats Jets? What do you like here, Don? You've been cracking it down. You and Bill Belichick still at odds, or are you trusting him?
Yeah, you know what? I do feel like I need to trust him in this game. But at the same time, doesn't it feel like that line is telling you everything you need to know? Opens up at 4.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now we're seeing the 3.5. And I still do think there is value on the New York Jets, because you can't go into this game. We always preface this by saying, there's no way you're looking at this game going, I don't know if the Jets can win, but boy, they can hang within 3.5 points. No, I actually think there's a legitimate chance that the Jets can go in and beat New England. Why? Because there's not a lot of upside on New England's offense. Like, what do we look at? The Jets have a very good defense here. So if you're looking from a perspective of the New England Patriots, 21, 24 points, let's just say we'll cap them at 24 points here. There's no reason to believe that the Jets aren't going to hang around with them. And also, let's keep in mind, the game previous, Zach Wilson was atrocious in that game, but there was a really bad call early on. I don't even know if you want to call it a bad call, a roughing the quarterback penalty on Mac Jones, which led to an interception. The Jets are going to win that football game. I'm not saying the Jets are the better football team here, but I look at this being, this is probably going to be a toss-up. Two teams that are probably going to play similar type, keep it on the ground, play good defense. Let's see who makes that first mistake. And we already know that Bill Belichick doesn't trust his quarterback at all. So as long as Zach Wilson goes out and has a decent game and plays within himself, not the swashbuckler, I need to throw three touchdown passes, let me throw through double coverage to make things happen. I think the Jets are the side here. I'll take the Jets with the 3.5 points in this game going up to Foxborough.
Bill Belichick has beat the New York Jets 13 straight games now. 13 consecutive games against a division opponent. You know how you like trip, fall, and somehow someone gets you there? It just never happens for them. They played a couple of weeks back, and Zach Wilson, who has 5 interceptions on the season, threw three against the New England Patriots. They were all insane. They were all really nuts. There's a lot of people who think the game could have been different if not for a pick six thrown by Mac Jones that was called off of the board. That's a fair point, but I'm not trusting Zach Wilson in Foxborough. I never trusted Sam Darnold when he went there, and I feel good about that. I feel good. If Zach goes out there and figures it out, then so be it. Not for me. Broncos Raiders. I mean, loser gets fired. I mean, stop the madness. There's no reason. You want to make this game fun? Both owners, handshake agreement. We will fire our coach on the spot if they lose this football game. Denver, a 2.5-point home favorite. By the way, the Denver Broncos, first team since the 1946 Steelers. They have the lowest scoring offense and the lowest scoring defense. That is why 8 of their 9 games have gone under the total. Broncos, Raiders, how excited are you for this one?
Yeah, and that's why you're bringing in an offensive head coach and one of the better quarterbacks over the past decade in the NFL to come up with these lowest, you know, a terrible offense. But having said that, there are levels to being bad and levels to how you want to carry on for the rest of your season. Denver Broncos aren't making the playoffs here, Kevin. They're 3-6. Neither are the Vegas Raiders. But when I look at these two organizations, it just feels like maybe there's a glimmer of hope for the Denver Broncos that they can salvage their season, be respectable, go into the offseason, and Russ goes, hey, look, man, I didn't play well here. You know, it's new playbook, getting used to my surroundings, much better in year two. Trust me on this. And they're going to have to trust him because of how much money they've actually invested along with the picks in order to get him into town. Now, whether or not their head coach is going to be back, that's another story. You just watched the Vegas Raiders last week, and I understand they came in that game injured, no Waller in that game, and certainly no slot receiver there either. Now, you take a look at Devontae Adams. He's still there. This team stinks. What's the motivation, Kevin? Give me motivation for the Raiders going, ooh, yeah, I can't wait. Like, this used to be a heated rivalry back when they were in Oakland and Los Angeles. You know, Al Davis couldn't stand the Broncos couldn't stand them. That's no longer there at this point. You tell me these new Raiders here, like, hey, Devontae Adams, like, yeah, man. This is the most hated rivalry in football. I can't stand. No, you barely even played this team or have any idea what the Denver Broncos are about. I look at this line, and we talk about disrespectful lines. Even though the Broncos stink, Kevin, 2.5? That's so disrespectful to the Denver Broncos for me in this game.
Based on where it is, I hear who would lay a field goal with Denver, though? Who in what world do they separate from a team? Also, for some reason, Derek Carr has owned the Raiders. Actually covered 9 of his last 10 games against them, winning 5 in a row. I hate both these teams. It feels like an under 41.5. As I said, 8 of 9 under so far for the Denver Broncos. What else you got to say on this game?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, the perfect handicap for this game, Maybe some people will use this later in the day. Look, I don't know if Vegas can win, but I think they can stay within 2.5. That sounds like this game to a T. You know, like that. Isn't that where that sounds like? That's the best handicap I could give on this game.
Yeah, no, and your bases are covered there. I think it's a smooth move by you. Last one, Falcons Bears. Justin Fields watch is on. I mean, am I bogging you down with games, man? I'm sorry. Am I asking you to talk a little football on Friday?
I'm setting the rundown on Fridays. Yeah, I'm setting this rundown on Friday next week so we can keep the energy levels, the peak atmosphere. It almost looks like Kevin's like, hey, you know, we'll just throw this one. By the way, it's kind of funny that you brought that up because I was already looking towards the pick six coming up, and you just hit me off with this game. Like, whoa. Where'd this game come from? All right, let's go.
I'll tell you what. You just hit this one out there, man. You got that pick six nice and
I
ready.
I love this game. It's my favorite one.
You love this game?
I do.
So what do you love about this game where the Falcons are a field goal favorite up against Justin Fields, totals 49.5?
By the way, I like the over in this game, to be honest with you. 49.5. You look at these. Like, wait a second. A couple weeks ago, Atlanta, Chicago, set that bad boy at 29.5. Not so fast. You're looking at a nice little maturation process. I like to use that for Justin Fields. Maybe he gets a $150 on the ground, but he's probably going to throw for at least, how about this, Kevin? Ready? A $150 in the air. Both of these defenses aren't very good. We're not worried about any weather conditions being in a dome. And quite frankly, if you're Marcus Mariota and you want to keep your starting job, you're going to put up good numbers against the Chicago defense in a game I never thought I would sit back and even see a 49.5 on the board and go, I really like the over in this game. Wait, come on, we're punting from the 50-yard line in this game. What are we doing here? We're going for touchdowns. I don't think either one of these defenses, Kevin, can slow the other down. Give me the over 50 in this game. I think it makes sense.
I mean, it makes sense based on everything we've seen from Chicago. I just wonder, is every single game that they play from now until the end of the season actually going to feature 60-plus points? Is that really what we're going to be able to do here? Last week, 31-30. Week before, 35-32. Week before, 49-29. I have some hesitation there. Mariota's been phenomenal off extended rest. The Falcons, after they covered the first six games, 6-0 ATS, they've now failed to cover four in a row. I think you buy back on Atlanta here, and they handle their business against the Chicago Bears. Pick six, Donovan chomping at the bit, man. I've been holding him back to deliver this pick six. Hours and hours of preparation put into these six picks here for you from old Donnie Wrightside. Go ahead, break it down.
Let's get after it. The easiest thing you can do each and every week is pick a touchdown score. Just ride with Donnie Wrightside. He's got your back. And one of my favorite bits of the week that we have, Kevin won't be here on Monday unless Brian Robinson at a plus 130 price cashes in a touchdown this week as the Commanders probably should beat the Texans. But the one thing I do know about that game, you're going to have goal line carries. It's going to Brian Robinson. He's cashing in at a plus 130 price. Money line dog of the week. Back to back, baby. I had a nice little down. I said nice. You know, a couple weeks there, wasn't able to pick a money line winner. Last week got back with those Detroit Lions going, you know what? I don't think the Chicago Bears should be favored against anybody. They end up beating the Chicago Bears. Now, they're not supposed to be favored against the New York Giants, but something is going to give this weekend, and maybe the bounces don't go in the same direction for the New York Giants. They're on upset alert. They're going to get beat, and the Lions are going to take down back-to-back for me at a plus 132 price. The under of the week here, the Commanders and the Texans, under 40.5 points. Where are the explosive plays coming out in this game? I mean, honestly, both of these teams are going to hand off repeatedly to their backs, which means that clock will be moving. There is no way they make it into the 40s, so we'll take the under 40.5 in that game. The alt line, the Broncos, -9.5 at a plus 235 price. You say, Donnie, 9.5. We would be lucky if the Broncos at this point could actually get to 10 points. You know what, K-Dub? If they get to 10 points, they might just cover the -9.5 against the hapless Raiders in this game. Miles Sanders over rushing yards for me. Yes. The Eagles looked at the game last week and maybe said we should have established a run a little bit earlier in that game. Miles Sanders is going to be in the 80s in this game against the Indianapolis Colts. He's going to cash in also. My teaser game. I don't understand the line here, so I'm going to roll with it. The Vikings, I do believe, will beat the Dallas Cowboys in a higher scoring game, but I'm going to take over a touchdown with those Minnesota Vikings. The pick six is in. I just hope KW is here with me on Monday to help celebrate it.
Yeah, and then people go, well, where's Kevin? He never shows up to work, which is one of the most ridiculous narratives that's ever been put forward by you. Broncos minus 9.5 is the single most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in a pick six. I have to respect it, but, man, did that catch me by surprise. All right, let's do it. Touchdown score, Allen Robinson. We had a mandate this week. We each had to pick a Robinson. Oh. Donnie went first and took Brian, so I took Allen. That was my entire. No.
Yay.
Look, I think Stafford can throw two this week. You got to know, I think that their team total lines up, and Cooper Kupp is gone. Why not Allen Robinson this week? Texans, moneyline dog, plus 138. I'll take a home dog, Taylor Heineke, laying a field goal on the road. No, thank you. Not for me. Not how I see it here. Also, a little short week. Come on now. Under Broncos, rate 40. Yeah, I mean, 10-0 final score here from Denver, and everyone has a good time. You know what? We could see it checking in, but under 41.5, as we said, 8 of the last 9 of the 9 games for Denver this season have gone under the total. Derek Carr on the road is just not anything I want to trust at all. Alt line, I feel like a coward. Giants minus 6.5. Apparently, it should have been 13.5 based on the way that Donnie operated here on this number. So, listen, at the end of the day, I think the Giants can go out there and handle their business against the Detroit Lions. Obviously, he and I are seeing that differently. Yards prop, Baker over his passing yards. I don't think they bench him for Darnold. So that means he should trail all game long. And I think the number is going to be really low, 180s. I think he's into the 200s. Which is what we saw last time Baker was a full starter up against the San Francisco 49ers. Teaser game, I cheated. I went to Monday night. It was too good to pass up. Cardinals plus 14.5 in division, which is a good. Now, even though we'll be able to do this on Monday, but Dr. Donnie, Kyler, Colt McCoy, who do you expect to be starting for Arizona?
I think Kyler will be back in, but also, K-Dub, did you see? A guy by the name of Hopkins has hamstring issues. So if we're looking at that game Monday night, Hopkins, you're out.
That's not good. Is that so? I didn't even notice it. Although Hollywood Brown is working around coming back. That'd be interesting if those two just keep tagging out for one another. Certainly will be something to keep our eye on. But that's your pick six. That's every single game as well. Despite the fact that Donnie only wanted to talk four games this week, I made him sit through Falcons, Bears, and Commanders, Texans breakdowns, and he survived. And for his reward, he gets to now tell you to listen up. Enjoy. We'll see you on Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, final segment of the week here for the early line. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walls. Bring in that heat right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, as usual, from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it over to the morning after. And Ben Stevens, as always, a Friday. It's a look forward to Sunday's NFL action, some college football, but there's a lot of stuff going around in the sporting atmosphere, including the World Cup actually kicks off on Sunday. So by the time we do a show on Monday, we'll actually be previewing the U.S. versus Wales. So exciting times ahead here. But sometimes when we look forward to something new as the World Cup coming into our lives this weekend, we say goodbye to some things in the rear view mirror, and that's the Green Bay Packers. Listen up. Say goodnight to my little friend. Yeah, the Green Bay Packers last night taking a loss to the Titans, dropping themselves to an astounding 4-7 on the season. 7 losses here. It usually takes 3 years for the Green Bay Packers, it feels like, to accumulate 7 losses, which they have now. I told you people out there early in the week, watch this. There's 4 automatic losses still on that Green Bay Packers schedule. Donnie, what are you crazy? Are you kidding me? They're going to play Thursday night at home, one of the biggest advantages in sports. They're going to beat the Titans. Heck, they're even favored over the Titans. And I told you, no. They're going to lose that football game. And you know what? They're going to lose to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're also going to lose to the Miami Dolphins and the Vikings on the way out, which will put them at double-digit losses on the season. Now, we told you correctly before the season started. What are you doing? Why are you trading Davante Adams? This is going to be a disaster. And a lot of pushback on Twitter and social media said, you're crazy, Donnie. What, are you kidding me? It's Aaron Rodgers. Did you see him last year? He won a game with no wide receivers. I said, I understand that. That's a one-game one-off where you can rise up and some of these players can rise up at the wide receiver position. You need a Davante Adams. He's not there. The Green Bay Packers are a disaster. So maybe in the offseason, you'll go out and get yourself a competent wide receiver for Aaron Rodgers. Bye-bye, Green Bay Packers, and bye-bye for the week here for the Early Line. See you guys back on Monday.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.